You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
July the 26th, 2022, we are live streaming at rumble.com. You go to rumble.com in the search engine, Larry Connors, USA, one word. And you can join us in studio, or if you're listening now and you want to see it video-wise later when you go home, open it up at that point. I see many of you do watch at a later hour than when we're actually on the air. Well, we continue to have this battle between the White House and people who really know the facts. By that, I'm talking about the White House is already disputing what a recession is, because it appears come Thursday we are going to get another negative report for the second quarter. Two negative quarters back to back are the basic definition of a recession, the economy shrinkage, pulling back. Well, the White House doesn't want to buy that anymore. They're trying to redefine it. They're saying, first of all, it's unlikely that the decline in GDP in the first quarter of this year, even if followed by another decline in the second quarter, indicates a recession. And in fact, the White House National Economic Council director said a second consecutive quarter of negative growth is technically not a recession. No, it is. Technically, that is a recession. Congressman Andy Biggs of Republican of Arizona said, Soviet-style propaganda from the White House. Congressman Jim Banks, Republican of Indiana, you can't message your way out of a recession. We'll see what happens Thursday. We'll see how they continue to message their way out. We do know this message is very clear. Today, the White House announced that the Department of Energy will be selling another 20 million more barrels of oil out of our strategic petroleum reserve as an effort to get the gas prices down again. Does that not indicate there's some kind of issue going on? You know it, I know it, and they actually know it, but they are in denial. Well, do they need another figure? How about this? Americans, according to a new Rasmussen polls found, as the Biden administration is crushing our energy independence in the nation, out of these likely voters that were surveyed, 71% say the government should encourage increased oil and gas in our country, and more than half of them, 53%, trust Republicans to get us out of this energy issue. 24% trust Democrats more. Others, I don't know. You want still another number. Here it is. Sales of new homes in the U.S. dropping 8.1% in June. That's far slower than what they expected. It is the sharpest decline we've seen since we began to reopen up after coronavirus. You know who is making money? The drug cartels. The drug cartels and coyotes who are smuggling people across the border, according to the New York Times, are earning $13 billion a year. Hey, it's good business to be in a drug cartel. Senator Chuck Grassley, Republican of Iowa, claims that highly credible whistleblowers have told him how the FBI and the Justice Department were trying to downplay or dismiss negative information about Hunter Biden when they had the laptop from hell, December, prior to the November election, and they wanted it kept quiet, they would tell news agencies that's disinformation. Pay no attention. The NCAA announcing its conference selection for the 2022 Woman of the Year. No. Thanks, good. This is good. University of Pennsylvania transgender swimmer Leah Thomas was nominated. She did not win. The winner is Sylvie Binder, the Ivy League pick. She's involved in fencing. Now, I know you think you've heard all of it right before. In Chicago, a man goes into a Target store, begins to just fill up a sack, walking around, grabbing what he wants, and walks back out the store. He is wearing an ankle bracelet for a previous crime. And then this horrific story out of Michigan. A mother shows up with her 2-year-old, badly beaten body. The child ends up dying. The man is caught that is accused of beating her. And he asked the judge, can you let me out of jail? I need to get out of jail so I can get a job. You're accused of killing and beating to death a baby? Some states, they might just let him go.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
I personally know at least 3 people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
This letter from Chuck Grassley is really just bombshell after bombshell. You have, he's named 2 FBI officials, Tim Tebolt and Brian Oaten, and he's pointed the finger squarely at them, and he has asked for Christopher Wray and for Merrick Garland to do something about cleaning out the corruption in their ranks. And now we know why the FBI sat on Hunter Biden's laptop, which was handed to them in December of 2019 by John Paul MacIsaac, the whistleblower, the owner of that Delaware computer repair shop, who was a patriot, who did the right thing. And then the FBI did the wrong thing, and he was then forced to go to Rudy Giuliani and the media.
Those are the words of Devine, who was, I should say, Miranda Devine, New York Post author, and also author of the book Laptop from Hell, talking about Senator Chuck Grassley, Republican of Iowa, claiming that the DOJ and FBI illegally suppressed information regarding Hunter Biden and that laptop from hell. Now, you heard her say at the end, because the FBI and the DOJ were not taking any action, because they were not taking any action, and no other media other than the New York Post and Fox News was even reporting it for the most part, certainly not the mainstream state-controlled media and all the internet linkage. They were shutting it down because they had apparently been told by members of the FBI and the Department of Justice that that's nothing. That's nonsense. It's fiction. It's disinformation. PBS, NPR, funded by federal tax dollars, wouldn't touch the story either. NPR said, we don't deal in fantasy. We deal with real news and things that mean something to people. Keep in mind, this New York Post article about the laptop broke in the month just ahead of the election between Trump and Biden. But the FBI had had the laptop in their hand since the preceding December. And they were making no effort to investigate it. And because of that, that is why the laptop computer guy took it to Rudy Giuliani. And, of course, when it came from Rudy Giuliani, the left automatically went into, well, that's got to be fake coming from him. They didn't know any facts about it. They didn't care. It just said it came from Giuliani. Now, I'm not saying because it comes from a certain person, it should be automatically accepted as fact. But before you label it as false, you need to investigate. And they weren't doing that. That was the whole point. The laptop operator, the guy that had it, made a copy of it, but he turned it over to the FBI in December and waited and waited and waited, and they did nothing. And he decided, this is not right. It should at least be investigated, but not any other media source was touching it other than the New York Post, Fox, and a few other conservative outlets. Now, you could say they were doing it strictly because they're supporting Trump. You go ahead and say that if you want. But I'm telling you, if a story like that, a bombshell of a story is dropped in your lap, you at least are running stories on it and saying we're looking at it, investigating, and then you can prove or not prove that it's false. They didn't make any effort. And the news agencies just simply took the word of FBI and DOJ agents. That is why Senator Grassley sent this letter to FBI Director Wray and Attorney General Merrick Garland and then made it public to the rest of the news agencies. He said, the information provided my office involves concerns about the FBI receipt and use of derogatory information relating to Hunter Biden and the FBI's false portrayal of acquired evidence as disinformation. The volume and consistency of these allegations substantiate their credibility and necessitate this letter. And again, Miranda Devine of the New York Post said, it was showing how the feds were covering everything up.
This is really a breakthrough, and it does look like a concerted scheme to keep the derogatory Hunter Biden information, which was derogatory to Joe Biden, one of the candidates for president back then, out of public view, to stop the senators Chuck Grassley and Ron Johnson, who were becoming very, very close to some of this information, to stop them from inquiring, to cover up for the Bidens, and to obstruct any journalist reporting or Chuck Grassley and Ron Johnson doing their investigation. This story should have been identified and investigated by the FBI from the beginning to protect this country from potential national security issues. The fact they didn't is the most enormous scandal.
And I would say it is equal to what they're trying to claim January 6th is as an insurrection. Because you are basically trying to control the government by weaponizing federal agencies against the people. That's what they were doing here. You heard her mention that Grassley isn't just throwing accusations against the wall. He's got specifics and names. One of them, FBI Supervisory Intel Analyst Brian Alton, opened an assessment used by an FBI headquarters team to improperly discredit negative Hunter Biden information as disinformation so all investigations would cease. And the Grassley letter says that 1 month before the 2020 election, an avenue of derogatory Hunter Biden reporting was ordered closed by a senior FBI agent at the Washington field office. In other words, the FBI agents were going rogue, making up the law as they went forward. Miranda Devine again.
We know that under James Comey, they were completely rogue. Who knows how long the rot has been going on for? What we do know is that the Trump era certainly exposed them. A whole lot of cockroaches came scurrying out from under rocks. And now we have links between the people who are covering up the Hunter Biden information and the Russia hoax story that the FBI was complicit in. That is what the whistleblowers are telling Chuck Grassley.
And that's what he's putting into this report. And these whistleblowers are willing to testify under oath and apparently have some documentation, according to Grassley. He also, in a previous letter, you might recall we discussed this back in May 31, he accused the senior FBI agent at the field office of possibly violating federal laws, regulations, and FBI guidelines. He said whistleblowers reported that although the FBI and Justice Department maintain policies dictating specific standards requiring substantial factual predication to initiate an investigation, Tebow and other Justice Department and FBI employees failed to comply. And Grassley in that letter continued, I remain very concerned that political bias by a select group of Justice Department and FBI officials has infected the Justice Department and the FBI's usual process and procedures to open and pursue high-profile and politically charged investigations. Grassley is asking, he wants records from the FBI and the Justice Department by August 8. August 8. And he's claiming again that AG Merrick Garland and FBI Director Wray have, quote, systemic and existential problems within their respective agencies. Miranda Devine says what's at stake here is not just these agencies, the people involved. As you heard her say, it's already national security. It's you. It's America.
At last, we are seeing the dam is bursting. There obviously are patriots inside the FBI who are now willing to come forward. Multiple whistleblowers have come forward to Chuck Grassley. I'm also told that there have been multiple witnesses in other aspects of the Biden saga who are coming forward now to Republicans as they see the midterms looming, and they see that maybe there will be some legitimate investigation done into what's going on at the FBI, because this makes the country less safe. We're paying $10 billion a year plus for the services of the FBI, and at present all we can see is that they are going after good Americans and protecting bad Americans.
Yep, she's absolutely right. You want another example of how this is being handled? Even after it's been unveiled, the Grassley letter made public, any media organization could pick it up and cover it. And even if you didn't believe it, it's coming from a U.S. senator on his official letterhead, and it's a very clear statement about wrongdoing, according to this senator. That deserves at least a headline or two, at least a few paragraphs. Would you not agree? I'm not saying you have to accept the letter. I'm not saying you have to believe Grassley, nor the whistleblowers. But as a news organization, you would at least report he's filed this complaint with the FBI and DOJ. And is demanding records by August 8. Well, let me give you an example of how it's being treated right now on CNN. As one example, I don't know what all the others are doing, but I don't need to look. I know pretty much it's going to be the same. I'm looking at the opening page for the CNN website. I'm looking at what they call, used to in the newspaper business, above the fold. When newspapers were put on the stand, everything above the fold was supposedly going to get your attention, so you'd pick the newspaper up and buy it. Big headlines at the top about something. They might have a little weather capsule there. They might have something else, but they wanted something that's going to grab your attention. Everything else got below the fold. In other words, you had to open up the paper, buy it, open it up to see what else was contained. You look at the CNN website, above the fold, the first page it opens up, I see a story about the biggest fear comes true, Russia cutting gas supplies to Europe, which Reagan warned Europe of that 40 years ago. If you get tied to Russia, that's what's going to happen. I see that Chief Justice Roberts thwarted efforts to save abortion rights. That's a CNN and NN exclusive. I have no idea what it is. I'm not really going to bother at this point. Oh, and I see there's a video. See why swarms of jellyfish are surrounding a boat in the Mediterranean. Those are the top three items across the top of their page. Let me see. They've got to have somewhere on here about Senator Grassley accusing the FBI and the laptop from hell story. I'm looking. I don't see it. I see right in the center of the page, more on the January 6th investigation that Adam Kinzinger, Republican in name only, from Illinois, he says, I'm encouraged by the latest news of the DOJ January 6th investigation. Have no idea what that is. I could care less. I see the Mega Millions jackpot is $810 million. Now, that's a worthwhile story for you. Below that, there's not one single story on their front page of the allegations made by Senator Chuck Grassley. Like him or don't like him, that is a powerful letter. It's a powerful set of accusations against the FBI, the DOJ. It demands an inquiry. And as a news agency, you should at least report. You don't have to agree with it, but at least report it. Even if you don't want to spend time investigating, you would at least report he's done it. Ah, my bad. My mind went into back gear, and I thought that CNN might be a news agency. That's my fault. Coming up, time to investigate Nancy Pelosi.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Every year I have to file a personal financial disclosure and I have to include my wife. So why is she not including those trades or those options in her personal financial disclosure? And why is she engaging in legislation on a calendar that benefits her? That's a good question. And I'm wondering why there's not been a greater scrutiny on this.
Well, you guys going to probe it if you take back Congress?
You can bet there's going to be a probe into a number of things. This is just one in a long laundry list of items that have to be addressed in a new majority. And that's why it's so important that we get out there and get back these gavels, because all the committees of authority, it's not just about the speaker. It's about all the committees of authority. So financial services, DOJ, you know, the judiciary, oversight, all of those committees, it's important that the gavels are in the right hands.
That is Congressman Rick Crawford, Arkansas Republican. And he was talking about how Nancy Pelosi's husband bought nearly $5 million in stocks in a semiconductor company just in time as the Senate prepares to vote on a bill that would provide a $52 billion subsidy to the semiconductor industry. Now, when Pelosi was asked the other day, over the course of your career, has your husband ever made a stock purchase or sale based on the information you received as speaker? She said, no, absolutely not, and walked away haughtily like, how dare you even ask such a question? Congressman Crawford pointed out, I have to fill out a report every year of income and sources of revenue for me and my spouse. Does Pelosi not have to do that? And if not, why not? What we do know when you look at Nancy Pelosi's record, from the time that she came into Congress, was just little Nancy, just kind of trying her best to get along, somewhere along the line, she and Paul got together, and maybe they were married prior to that. I don't recall, and I don't really care at that point. If he had a fortune building up, that's fine. But we're talking about now, is there some inside information, pillow talk going on that involves not just, hey, I love you, honey, I love you too, or I don't love you, I don't love you either. And to that extent, again, Arkansas Congressman Crawford says we have questions, and if she can accumulate the kind of wealth and the money she has while she's been in office, maybe she could take that and use it on behalf of the American people.
Well, I'll tell you what, if Speaker Pelosi could bring that degree of financial acumen and market savvy to the federal government, maybe we wouldn't be $30 trillion in debt. Somehow she manages to amass $150 million net worth while the rest of us are out there, you know, struggling with 9.1% inflation and worrying about where our next paycheck's coming from, how much we're going to spend in gas next week and all these other things.
$150 net worth. That's now. That's the number we're told. Her estimated net worth in 2018 was $1.1 million. And her salary is $223,000 a year. But now she supposedly is worth close to $200+ million. Is that just because she's a good speaker? Whenever someone goes into Congress and comes out so much richer, you have to raise some questions. Now, if they're hardworking and they can make things happen and it's all above board, that's fine. I could care less at that point. But I'm looking at when she was elected in 1987 to the House for the first time. And she got House Speaker. The net worth at that time, I'm getting so many conflicting numbers here. One of them claims at that time she was already worth $100 million. I don't think that's true when it says her primary source of income was a congressional salary. I don't think so, but you go ahead and buy that argument if you want to. Now, we have illegals all over the nation. Every state and city is a border city or state. And now in New York City, Mayor Eric Adams is recognizing that. And he's not so happy.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Some car dealers might try to take advantage of you. One quick way to spot it, look at the sticker price. Jay Ackerman told me, especially in these times, he wants to reward the generations of buyers and the new customers. So Ackerman Toyota sells every car at sticker price. No markup. What you see is what you pay. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
This is a real burden on New Yorkers as we're trying to do the right thing. We already, as I stated, we already have an overburdened shelter system. So now we're talking about, as you stated, food, clothing, school. This is going to impact our schools because we do not turn away individuals because they're undocumented. Translation services. There's just a whole host of things that this is going to produce, and that's why we need help in getting this done.
That is New York City Mayor Eric Adams, and he just opened the door for more illegals to make their way to New York City because he said we will not turn away undocumented aliens. Till they figure, well, obviously, we get to New York City, we'll be okay. Texas Governor Greg Abbott had come up with the idea, and others are joining him, of taking illegals and transporting them by bus or whatever from along the Texas border or Arizona border, wherever, and taking them north, drop them off in D.C. So Mario Bowser, the mayor of D.C., is also complaining about all these illegals we're getting here. We're not equipped to handle them. We have plenty of homeless already, and it's a strain on our resources. Those two, Adams and Bowser, every time I say, I want to say Bow Wow, but Bowser, are absolutely echoing comments we've heard from border cities and towns and states along the border. Ever since the Biden administration came in and just said, basically, open up the border. There is no border. And they didn't have any problem with it being putting pressure upon the border towns and border communities and states. That's just, you know, that's your geographic problem. That's you. So let them all come in, all the illegals. But now they're showing up, according to an ABC New York report, 2,800 bussed in so far from Texas and Arizona and New York City. And I'm sure that number is even higher. And even if that number is 10 times that amount, make it 28,000, that's still way below those that are coming across and infiltrating cities and towns closer to the actual border. And they're having the same difficulties. But suddenly in New York City, oh my God, this is a big deal. We need help. We need federal dollars to do this. Of course they need federal dollars. They always need federal dollars. Same thing in D.C. But Mayor Eric Adams said, we can't have the historical, I believe people should be housed, but just don't house them on my block. He added, everyone's block is going to be impacted by this. Well, that's true. But, there, of course, there'll be some regions where they will not be affected. Just like California, which is a sanctuary state. Riddle me this. How many homeless, how many illegals do you see camped out on the lawn around Nancy Pelosi's mansion or any of the Hollywood elite liberals? No, there are some areas it won't be. We want to house them, we want to take care of them, but not on my block and not in my house. He went on to say our health care system is going to be impacted, our schools, our infrastructure. Well, I understand that. That's what we've been saying repeatedly for those counties and cities that are along the border and closer to the border than New York City and Washington, D.C. And they didn't seem to care that you needed help down there and it was straining your resources, did they? I'm looking at a New York Times report that came out the other day, and Breitbart did a good investigation on the background of this story, and that's really why it caught my attention even more so. The cartels, according to the New York Times, the cartels and coyotes, those are the ones that are actually smuggling people, are earning something like $13 billion a year, $13 billion a year, by delivering migrants to U.S. workplaces via President Biden's welcoming border agencies. That's 26 times larger than the $500 million the cartels were earning under President Trump's low migration policies. But the information and those key points were basically buried in a 14th paragraph of a long piece about smuggling and crime. You might ask, why would they bury the lead like that? Well, it was written by an experienced reporter, but they might have buried it because pro-migration editors wanted to muffle any public criticism of Biden's easy migration policies. And in fact, it's pointed out the New York Times top editor includes Zhi Lin Yang, author of a 2020 pro-migration book titled One Mighty and Irresistible Tide, where she wrote, imagine the image, the Statue of Liberty, the Emma Lazarus poem at the statue's base, the notion of America as an eternal nation of immigrants, which we are. Then she goes on to say, if there's salvation for this country, it may very well lie in the underlying gratitude of a refugee whose life has been saved by the granting of a visa. This is a nation built on immigration and immigrants. Legal. We have some that have been here now for decades. They have been here illegally. But when we have an attitude that we're just not going to enforce it, we're not going to turn anybody away, then more and more will be coming. Proving again to those of the North that your city and your town is also a border town now. That's just those who have been bussed into the region of New York City. When ABC News did its compilation of saying 12,000 into New York City, that was just based on numbers that had been provided. That doesn't account for those who found other ways to get there by friends or other whatever. But what happened with the New York Times as they were doing this story, they said it became apparent. If you want to help migrant smuggling, that's a real moneymaker. The drug cartels realize we can make a lot of money off of this. And they specialize teams with logistics, transportation, surveillance, stash houses, accounting, all according to the New York Times and the Homeland Security investigations, giving them something like $13 billion a year. And don't forget about the drugs they bring in, which lead to drug addiction and drug overdoses in this country. Don't forget about the children that are brought in, maybe kidnapped from another family, or sold to be brought to America. Do you think they're going to have a real opportunity here, or are they going to be sold into sex dens? The boys would be put to work in gangs and maybe also sex dens. The girls the same. 5 years or maybe a little longer, maybe less, you're going to start hearing some of these stories come out of it. I was 7 years old when I was brought here by a drug cartel that had snatched me off the street, made me claim to be related to the lady they had with me. But I was going to get to go to America. And then I spent decades being sexually abused and then almost murdered. We're going to hear stories similar to that. I pray not, but the reality is there. Drug and child smuggling is not for the weak of stomach. I want to go back to, I mentioned Nancy Pelosi earlier about her riches and so forth. When she got married, I wasn't sure she got married before she went into Congress or not. She and Paul got married in 1963. He already had his big financial leasing service with investments in Facebook, Apple, and Walt Disney. That was 63. She first went into Congress in 87. So her money was made all by him, you think? They do have together property in Napa Valley, a vineyard. They have other homes and so forth. Her net worth is certainly well above congressional staff pay. So she can either give him credit, or maybe she would take the credit for all the money they make. Coming up, VP Harris says, we have a problem in this country. Wait to hear this.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I don't endorse anyone unless I believe in them. So I can tell you with confidence and with personal knowledge, Rottner Pest Solutions will rid your home, your business, of pests without any danger to your family or pets. Rottner, the only pest control company you need. Call for a free estimate. 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, or go to Rottner.com, Rottner Pest Solutions.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Listen, women are getting pregnant every day in America, and this is a real issue, and we need to act with a sense of haste about what is at play, what is at stake, and codifying Roe will be an important moment in terms of putting back in place protections for the folks who are at risk right now because of what the court did in Dobbs just weeks ago.
Wow. Yes, that was right. That was VP Harris saying we have a real issue in America now. Women getting pregnant every day. Well, for many of those women, that's not an issue. That's what they wanted. It's a celebration. But for abortionists, you really probably should abort that child, because how are you going to feed it? How you going to put a more of a strain upon the world and our economy? In the back of their minds, I'm sure they often, some of them think that. But when she said, now we need to make it a law so we don't have to go through the courts again, that's why they're also pushing forward a new marriage legislation to make it law, codify it. That's what they want to do here so we don't have to deal with abortion issue in front of the court before again. But the very fact and the way she gets into doing this, talking about that we need to do it because so many are at risk, we have women getting pregnant, I mean, that's not necessarily a bad thing, and that's not a major issue for the country. And if the women don't want to get pregnant, there are numerous options not to get pregnant, beginning with, let me see, first letter of the alphabet, abstinence. There are other ways. And, of course, don't forget the other day that some of the abortionists, and they don't like being called abortionists, they want to be called pro-choicers. Well, they're not really pro-choice. If it's pro-choice, no one would be killing a baby. But they don't want to recognize it as a baby. And they're not really for women, because they won't even acknowledge a woman is the one who has a womb that carries it. They want to call them folks at risk, as she said in her statement. And now we have a Supreme Court justice seated that couldn't even define woman when she was in her nomination hearings. Listen again to this nonsense from VP Harris as she worries about, we have a real issue in America.
Listen, women are getting pregnant every day in America, and this is a real issue, and we need to act with a sense of haste about what is at play, what is at stake, and codifying Roe will be an important moment in terms of putting back in place protections for the folks who are at risk right now because of what the court did in Dobbs just weeks ago.
What if the woman wanted to get pregnant and have a child? She just listed them as, we have to act in haste. We've got to act quickly because women are getting pregnant all the time now, every day. You know, if Joe Biden cannot make it to the end of his term, and I have said that after 2022 elections coming up here in November, that may be when he decides to step aside. I don't know what's going to be better, him staying or Harris coming in. CNN, I'd mentioned earlier in the hour, did a piece on Chief Justice John Roberts. They won't do a story on Chuck Grassley, Senator Grassley, sending a letter to the FBI and DOJ saying, I've got whistleblowers and evidence showing you've got a systemic lawlessness inside your organizations of agents that are doing things strictly on political reasons, not based on law. CNN and ignoring that, but they did a big piece where they talked about Chief Justice Roberts, and here's the way they wrote it, and the way they wrote this opening line, well, you don't need to be told that they're going to slant this way, but it tells you everything. Chief Justice John Roberts privately lobbied fellow conservatives to save the constitutional right to abortion down to the bitter end. There's more of the sentence, but that point, to save the constitutional right to abortion, there never was a constitutional right to abortion. Never. It's not a constitutional right. Even Ruth Bader Ginsburg said the justices overstepped on that case. They should just focus what was in front of them, but they tried to make it law of the land. And Roberts apparently was trying to make sure it got upheld, but he couldn't get anybody to play a game with him. And do you remember, of course, that the draft of Alito, how the vote was going to go, got released early by Politico? And remember there was an inquest investigation? We had the court-martial asking law clerks sign affidavits, turn over cell phone data. They did all of this, and so far, have we heard anyone named or identified as leaking it? Nope, we have not. Thanks for listening, as always. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.